Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. It's great to see you all tonight. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Sir, can you see? Come on, let's stand up and give the Lord a clap and a shout. Come on. Come on, somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. We give You all the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, let this be normal in this house. Let this be normal in this place. And we will honor You all the days of our life. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I told you, you've just come to the feasts. Just never know what God's going to do. Amen. And so, it's really amazing because coming into the feast, you know, the Lord spoke to me about what I'm going to share with you tonight before the feast. And I kind of did something with this on Sunday morning with the whole congregation here. But I felt very strongly that I need to do something with you tonight. Because I know that the Feast of Tabernacle also represents a time of great blessings, proclaiming blessings. And you'll find that if you study the way they did it, the children of Israel, they would declare the blessings over their families. They would declare it to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they would speak the promises and the blessings of God over their life. And there is a priestly blessing that is done over the children of Israel. In fact, in 2018, I think it was the first time in many years, I stand to correction, but I couldn't find anything before that for quite some time, where they came to Jerusalem again, all the children of Israel, all the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they came together. And at the Wailing Wall, there was thousands of people gathered. And the priest actually declared this blessing over them. It's a priestly blessing that is prayed over the people at the Feast of Tabernacles. The truth is, it's actually declared twice over the nation, over the children of Israel. It's declared twice, once at Passover and once at Tabernacle. And so I feel very strongly in my spirit that I need to pray this blessing over you. But what I think the Lord wants to do is He wants to show you. You know, when you get revelation, it changes you. When you begin to get revelation and you begin to understand something that God is doing, it is extremely powerful. It has the potential to really cause something supernatural to happen in your life. And so tonight I want to share this blessing with you. Many of you have heard the song, The Blessing, right? And you sit in your car and you're singing it and it sounds so nice, but if only you knew how powerful it is. If only you knew what every single word of that blessing represents. And tonight I want to break that down with you and show you just how powerful it is. And then what we're going to do is, once I've done that, tonight we're going to pray that blessing over you. I am the pastor in this house, so I'm like the priest, but I want you to know that you're also a priest as well, so you can pray the same blessing over your family, over your children, over your household. When your boss isn't looking, get up and just lift your hands and declare that blessing over your workplace. Amen. But as the pastor of this house, I really feel that the Lord wants me to pray this blessing over you and bless you with it. And we need Him to come and do the blessing. Amen. So we're going to trust Him tonight to really bless you. You know, I believe that God has brought us through a time of testing, that we've come through the season in the timeline of God, and we've come through it as a church and as a nation, and we stand at a crossroads, and I believe that God has got some great things in store for us as the body of Christ. And so I'm going to declare this blessing over you, and you must receive it tonight. You must receive every word. Now I'm going to read it to you from the TLV version because it's more It's closer. Now, they don't have it in the back, so don't worry. I'll just read it because I'll read it to you in the New King James Version as well. But I just want you to see how they declare it, and I'll explain to you why they do that as well. But it's Numbers 6, verse 24. It's really short. It's three verses. And they say it like this. They say Adonai. They won't say the name Yahweh. They won't say that name because it's too holy. It's too sacred. So they call him Adonai, which means Lord. So they go, Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Adonai turn his face towards you and grant you shalom. And this is very powerful. It is extremely powerful. So let's go and break it down from Numbers 6. We'll start in verse 24. Just verse 24. The first few words, the Lord bless you. The word bless in the Hebrew is a very powerful word. Because what the blessing represents is it represents prosperous. It represents being prosperous. It represents God's abundance. And it represents fertility, being fertile. So I want you to know that when I speak, the Lord bless you, that means He's going to make you prosperous. That means He wants you to walk in abundance. That means He wants to make the area, the ground that you have, the territory you have, a fertile land. So that He can bless it, so there can be growth, so that there can be expansion, so there can be blessing. You see, we say the word bless and we think of like just a little blessing, but it means so much more than that. It means that if we're going to declare this blessing over us, we are declaring abundance, prosperity, fertile land. As soon as I say the word prosperity, people get uncomfortable. Don't get upset because some people abuse it. God wants you to prosper. Blessing means prosper. Are you with me? So God wants to bless you. If you say, no, I don't want to be, I don't believe in that, well, then you don't want to be blessed. God wants to bless you in every area of your life. Psalm 128, verse number 5 says this. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Psalm 133, verse number 3. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Look, life forevermore. When He blesses you, He gives you life forevermore. Psalm 134, verse number 3. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. I want you to understand this blessing is not like some little gift that gets given to you. The blessing that he's talking about is one that can literally change your life. From tonight, I am believing that there are people that will become blessed by this declaration that we will make over you. You see, the Feast of Tabernacles, also like Pastor John spoke about, feast, it speaks of the end of the harvest. It's the end. Now we start a new season. All things have passed away. It's now over. Now we're starting afresh. We've come through what we have in 2020. Thank goodness I got the year right. And now we are going into a new season. We haven't hit the end of the year on our timeline, but with God, things are becoming new in this season. And that's why we're going to leave tonight as we leave our Feast of Tabernacles with this blessing. With this blessing which represents abundance and prosperity and fertile land. And I want you to receive every single bit of it tonight in Jesus' name. He goes on and he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The word keep there is also very, very powerful. The word keep there obviously means to keep. But what does keep mean? Keep means to preserve. Keep means that it's God's power to watch over you. God's power to protect you. Psalm 121 says this. It's a song of ascent. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From whence comes my help? That's what it means when he says he'll keep you. He's the one who will help you. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep you. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I want you to understand that when it says the Lord bless you and keep you, He's talking about provision. He's talking about protection. He's talking about preservation. Keeping you means so much more than just like keeping you. So when you hear those words, the Lord bless you, you need to think about going from where you are now into the blessing of God. And those of you that are already walking in it, you need to claim a double portion. You need to claim a double portion. Because we are moving into the time of the Gentiles. What that means is we're moving into the time of the fulfillment of the Gentiles. What that means is that the church, this season that we're stepping into as the body of Christ, there is no question that this is busy taking place right now. We don't know the hour. We don't know the time when Jesus will come again. But we can tell prophetically in the Spirit, everyone is in agreement that we are stepping into a time of the fulfillment of the church, which means that the Gentiles, the church of Jesus Christ, is going to rise up like never before. Let me ask you a question. When you looked at the children of Israel, they were blessed. When you looked at the children of Israel, they had protection. When you looked at the children of Israel, they had the hand of God, the favor of God on their life. If you're about to step into a season of fulfillment, can I prophesy to you tonight that you will be blessed, that you will be kept, that you will be protected, that you will be preserved, that it doesn't matter what happens in the world, God's got a plan for you. He's going to get you through it. You're going to be protected by a great blessing that He has promised to you and to your children and to your children's children. Come on, somebody, take it. It's so powerful. I want you to know that wherever you go, if this blessing is on you, He will keep you. Watch. Let me show you. Genesis 28, 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done with you what I have spoken to you. There are people in this room. God has given you promises. God has spoken to you while you were at home in your room. God has given you visions and dreams. He's shown you things about your future. I want you to know He's going to keep you until He's done everything He needs to do with you. You need to hold on to that promise. Can you say amen? Some people will say, well, you know, how can we be so sure this applies to us? Well, how can we be so sure it applied to the children of Israel? The Lord's the one who instructed this blessing. Who are His children? Are you not His children? Is the promises of Abraham, are the blessings of Abraham not yours? I mean, how many scriptures do you want for it? This is the time that this was spoken over the people. Do you know, people will get upset, but their people would get debt cancellation. People would forgive debt. People would step out of things supernaturally during this season. God would just do some incredible stuff. Listen, if God can open blind eyes, He can cancel your debt as well. Don't underestimate what He can do. Don't underestimate Him. Now, don't go make debt and be silly. I'm just saying. That you're at this point, you're at a tipping point, you're at a crossroads. The church is at a crossroads. Which way will we go? What will you choose? Will you choose life or will you choose death? What will you decide to do? If you take God by the hand in this season, if you take this blessing, this promise that He has for you in this time, and it is for such a time as this, It is for right now. Listen, I'm taking it. I'm going to go and get this printed out on a plaque, and I'm going to put it in my house, and I'm going to write the date, today's date, on that plaque, and I'm going to say that was the day that there was a turning point in my life. That was the day that there was a turning point in the church. That was the day that there was a turning point in my family. That was the day that that blessing was spoken, and we all understood what it meant. And that's why we will take it in Jesus' name. Joshua 24 verse 17 says, "For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed." I want you to understand that in that preservation comes protection. Protection from your enemies. 1 Samuel 30 verse 23. "But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, whom has preserved us and has delivered into our hand the troop that came against us." I want you to know that God will preserve you in the season. That speaks of a protection from your enemies. And don't forget, stop calling your enemy Sue. Your enemy isn't Sue. Your enemy is that demonic force that's operating behind Sue. So don't battle in the natural. Battle in the spirit. Come against it in the spirit. Realize that your battle is not against flesh and blood. If there's a person in your office that keeps on heckling you, that keeps on irritating you, that keeps on bothering you, and you keep on thinking, why does that person not like me? It's probably a devil that's busy operating, that doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do, that wants you to react, that wants you to get all in the flesh. When all you need to do, just close your eyes. And say, "I see you, you foul devil, you. And I recognize you." And you think demons are so powerful. They're not. They are not omnipresent. They do not know everything. They only know what they see, what they hear, and what they smell. Oh, but demons smell bad, let me tell you. I've smelled some really smelly demons. Yeah, especially the ones that come out of homosexuals. They really stink. True story. Anyway, let's move on. So, that's a spirit, by the way. Well, how could I be born that way? Well, that spirit came along. And I can give you many scriptures for that. That's not how God intended it to be. But I don't want to make this about that tonight. Amen? We love homosexuals. Absolutely. We embrace them. We welcome them. But we can never agree with that, right? It would be like you saying, and I've said this before, and this will hopefully just bring the balance. It would be like me saying, well, you must accept me as your pastor, and I must have as many affairs as I want, and I must go and sleep around, and I must just do whatever I want, but then I must come here, and you must all accept me. You can still love me. You better, but you're not going to say that it's right. Because it's not, right? What is wrong, and what is right. Amen. So when you have that person standing over there, close your eyes and do battle in the spirit. Command that thing to stop. I remember with my daughter Anastasia, there was a child that was very dark in one of her schools. And it wasn't the child's fault, it was a spirit. And that spirit was busy harassing my daughter. Now, I can't go to the school and say, listen, your five-year-old child in your class is full of demons and is busy attacking my child. I can't do that, you know what I mean? So what did I do? Every morning I would wake up and I would speak to that spirit. And I would come against it for days. I came against it. That child never came near my daughter again. I didn't have to do anything. Are you with me? It's not the child's fault. It's the spirit. So understand who you're coming against. Don't submit. Don't fall for the things of the flesh. Listen, it's hard, right? Let's be honest. Sometimes you just want to fivefold ministry, you know, and I punch their lights out, you know. But you mustn't, amen? We know who we are, who we're in battle against. The Bible says in Psalm 91, verse number 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways." I want you to know that when he says he will keep you, that includes a protection, a divine protection, that also includes some heavenly hosts. That there are angels watching over you and protecting you. You don't even know it. You don't even know when an angel was right there when you were about to do something really silly and somehow you got moved out the way. I remember when I was driving in college, my friend and I were driving and, you know, I was in college, guys, you know, so I thought I could get over the road really fast. And I don't know how I didn't see this bus. And so we went. I mean, the bus was like here, and I was like here. And there was nothing to do except put my foot down and just close my eyes. And I don't actually remember everything, but the guy next to me was actually the guy whose mom took me to church and got me saved. And I remember him screaming, "Jesus." And the next thing, it felt like the whole car was just moved forward. It wasn't normal. We were just moved right past that bus. The bus just kept going because it was one of these electrical type things. And so we just went right past it. And I remember thinking, there's no human possible way that that could have happened. And I believe that he was protecting us. He will keep you. Listen, he will keep you regardless of what viruses there are, regardless of what riots there are, regardless of who wins an election. God is going to keep you in this season. Today in this place, we are going to pray a blessing over you that no devil can come against, that no political party can come against, that no matter what happens in the world, I want you to know that this blessing comes from the highest power. This blessing comes from the God of all creation. This blessing comes from the Lord of all. Amen. I think that's pretty exciting. So he will protect you. The next verse, verse 25, says, "The Lord make his face shine upon you." Now, I just did a teaching a few weeks ago and explained to you what face means in the Hebrew. It's the word panay, which actually speaks of his presence. It also means face. So, for example, where God says to Moses, "No man shall see my face and live," he wasn't joking. But God yet speaks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What it really means is that God showed him his form and must have shown him more than he shows most of us, but it was not necessarily his face. It was his presence, his form. He actually hides him in a rock because he goes past him, and to protect him, he does that because the glory of God is something just unbelievable. When the Lord comes into a building like this and his presence comes in here, you know what it's like. Some of you have experienced it. And there are times where that presence comes in so strong. But when he physically like manifests like that in a form like that, we won't be able to take it. And so that's why he had to hide Moses in the rock. But his face really represents his presence. So I want you to know when it says that he makes his face shine upon you, it means that his presence is for you. Psalm 16, verse number 11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Exodus 33, verse 14 says, "And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Listen, it's important that you don't forget these scriptures. It's important that you don't forget that there will be rest for you. There will be provision for you. That means that when you get home and you're exhausted and your boss has been screaming at you and you get home and the dog's barking and the kids are screaming, you need to know that there is one place that you'll find rest. There's one place that you'll find his peace, and it's because his face is towards you. His presence is with you. This is a blessing, guys. This is a promise that we can receive. Well, Pastor Alex, I was really bad. Well, that was before the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? Is that okay? You have a decision tonight to make. You've got a choice. This is a chance to renew your vows, to make new commitments to God. It's up to you. You can leave here without the blessing, but I can assure you I'm taking every drop that I can take. I'm taking every little bit of it that I can take. Amen? All right. You see, the opposite would be tragic. If the Lord does not make His face shine upon you, we know that it is painful. Psalm 30 verse 7 says, Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. Deuteronomy 31:7 says, 17 says this, then my anger shall be aroused against him. I want you to see what causes his face not to shine upon you. His anger shall be against him in that day. And I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us. I don't know about you, but I want his face to shine upon me. I don't know about you, but I want his presence in my life because it's what preserves me. It's what keeps me going. It's what gives me rest. It's the life. It's my lifeline. Amen. I come to church and I wait for that presence. I wait for his manifest presence to come into the building. But that's not all he says in that verse. He says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I think this is probably one of the words that most of you don't realize is so powerful. The word gracious there in the Hebrew not only means gracious, but means compassion. Not only compassion, but it means favor. Not only favor, but it also means mercy, to the point where I'll actually show you where those words are used, and it's the same Hebrew word. So when he says that he will be gracious to you, the first thing that we have to look at is that no matter what you've been through, and no matter what you will go through, if his blessing's on you, there will be mercy available to you. Mercy will be there. Psalm 25 verse 16, same word. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. See, so when things go wrong, when you get in that bind and you just have nowhere else to turn, you need to know that his mercy, his graciousness is there for you. Psalm 123:13 talks about his favor, which is the same word for gracious. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. So there is favor that comes when he speaks about his graciousness towards you. Favor comes towards you, mercy comes towards you, and then obviously the word gracious. Isaiah 33 verse number 2 says, O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. And I want to tell you something. Do you know that a lot of the Psalms and things that I'm reading to you, a lot of the scholars believe that those Psalms are connected to this prayer. So many of the scriptures I'm sharing with you, specifically Psalms and even in Joshua, they believe a lot of those writings were inspired by this blessing. Which is so powerful to me, because what it shows is that they understood what it meant. So that because they had a revelation of what it means, they could write and they were inspired to write this way. Don't forget, never forget what I'm telling you now. I said it earlier on, but I want to say it again to you. You are his children. You are his children right now. Yes, the children of Israel, God is still busy with them. He loves them too. But you are his church. You are the bride of Christ. And the same way that he brought his church in the wilderness, the children of Israel, the same way that he provided, that he blessed, that he promised, he's doing it with us. And this will be our finest hour. You can do one of two things. You can either watch it or be a part of it. I can assure you, we're going to be a part of it. I can assure you, we're going to be a part of it. Now, I don't want to take too long tonight, so let's keep going. think you understand that one. Let's move on. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And this is so beautiful because most of the Hebrew scholars will write that it also means that he smiles upon you. He smiles upon you. So in other words, God is showing his pleasure towards you. Isn't that awesome, guys? I don't know about you, but I want God, the Lord, to look down upon me and I want him to smile. I don't even mind if he laughs a little bit. That's fine too. But I'd rather have those two things than the opposite. Amen? I want him to look down and smile. Because when if you've ever watched your kids play, when I watch my kids play, they make me smile. And when I smile at them, I'm thinking about how much I love them and how much I enjoy them. I watch my son and my daughter playing and I enjoy them. I smile at them. I want you to know that that's what the Lord has for you, that his countenance upon you, he's smiling upon you. Psalm 4 verse number 6 says this, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in any season that their grain and wine increased. Psalm 89 verse 15, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. That light speaks of life. That light speaks of favor. That light speaks of rejoicing. I want you to know that you can be a blessing to God, that he can look upon you and smile at you. When we proclaim this blessing over you, this is your portion. You must receive it tonight. I don't want you to worry about what you did yesterday. I don't want you to think about how you fell last week. I don't want you to think about any of that tonight. There's a blessing available tonight if you choose to receive it, if you choose to take it. I can tell you right now, God told me to do this tonight already days ago. I knew this was right now for such a time as this. And the funniest part about it is I didn't know they did it during the Feast of Tabernacles. I only found that out today. That is the honest truth. I'm not going to promise because I taught you about that. But I actually can. Because it's really the truth. I give you my word. I only found that out today. I was like, I need to see where they read that prayer. And then 2018 Sukkot came on the screen. And I watched them on their faces before God. And the priest is praying the blessing over them. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, that's amazing. Because I believe it's for these people, for us right now, for the church. It's not just for us, it's for the whole church. And we must receive it. You see, when you get taught, you get faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't let the enemy steal what he has for you tonight. Because he wants to bless you. Amen? And then he says this, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, this peace is not an ordinary peace. This peace does not only mean peace from my enemies, peace from war, living comfortably. No, this peace is the word shalom, and it means righteousness with God. In other words, guys, there is no better place to be and to be standing right before the Lord. When you know that you're standing right before him. And let me tell you something. Your righteousness is guaranteed because of Jesus. If you walk with him, if you stay close to him, it's a promise. So we have even a better covenant than the original. It's because we have the righteousness of Christ that is our guarantee. But I want you to know that this word shalom means that he'll give you a peace which is an assurance that you're standing with him. Because imagine all the things he's promising in this blessing. If you're walking it out, imagine the peace you'll experience. Thank you for that. Amen. I receive it. It also means that your life will be full of well-being. Of well-being. Psalm 122 verse number 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper with who love you. Does everybody in this place love the Lord? That means you're going to prosper. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Jesus made this commitment. He made this promise. He said, my peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives it. And I think that for it to end like this is so profound. Because what it is once you've received this promise and you believe this promise is yours, it's sealed with a peace because you know that He's got you. You know that His favor's upon you. You know His blessing is upon you. You know His presence is with you. You know His anointing, His presence is everywhere you go. You know that His peace, that His blessing, that He's smiling down on you. You know that He blesses you, that He protects you, that He provides for you. I don't know about you, but I think tonight that we're going to be blessed beyond our own even imagination. Can you say amen? So this is what we're going to do. I'd like the whole band on the platform, please. I told you, every night is different. But you see, tonight, God wants to give everybody a blessing. And so I'm going to pray this over you. And when I pray it, you must take it by faith. Because this is the exact time that it's supposed to be spoken over you. It's the end of the year. It's the end of that season. It's the end of the harvest. And now we look towards what's coming. And this promise, this prayer, this blessing is going to be prayed over you. And I can assure you, it's yours. You just have to take it. Amen? So let's go. Stand up. She's like, give me some of that. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray the blessing over you. And then we're going to sing that song, the blessing. And now when you hear it, you will never forget tonight. And when you're driving in your car in 6 months from now, no matter what's going on in your life, you'll remember this promise that was declared over you tonight in this place. Take it. It's yours. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank you that we are the redeemed. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your love and your mercy, Jesus. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, Father, that you made a way where there seems to be no way. And tonight, Father, as we stand at this crossroads, as the church, in a very exciting time, in some ways it might be challenging, but it's exciting, Father, because you're about to bring the church into a season, into a time, Lord, like with the children of Israel when they entered into what was theirs. I believe the time of the Gentiles is at hand, Father, and we will step into the fullness of what you have for us as the body of Christ on earth right now. With that must come the blessing. With that must come prosperity. With that must come provision. With that, Father, we need your presence. With that, Father, we desire to do things that would be pleasing to your sight, that would cause your countenance to look upon us, and that you would smile upon us, Father. And Lord, no matter what happens, we will have a peace that is indescribable, a peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, let this prayer not only be a declaration that is spoken that people will walk out with and forget about, but let it pierce their very hearts into their soul and spirit tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know what this promise means. Lord, let it speak to us. Let it change us. Let it have power in our lives, Lord. And we honor you and we thank you and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Every single person, please, please, just this one time, lift your hands for me. Just receive this blessing now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you peace all the days of your life. I declare this over you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Take it now. The blessing is yours in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a shout like you believe it. Give the Lord a clap in this place. Take it tonight for yourself. Hallelujah. And rejoice in this place as we close out the Feast of Tabernacles in Jesus' mighty name.
To you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family, in your children, in their children, in their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family. Before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you, He is with you, He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in rejoicing, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for this feast. Thank you for what you have done in this place. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you, Father. We don't deserve it, but we are so thankful to you. Lord, may our children and our children's children and their children serve you all the days of their life. Father, let us be examples, Father, of those that desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. As we come to the close of our feast, as celebrating the feast here at the church, Father, we just honor you. We just thank you. We praise you and worship you in this place. Thank you, Father. Yes, let's give the Lord one last clap and shout. Hallelujah. The breakthrough is yours in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks, Father. We honor you and praise you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.